We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Todd Feinberg, now 2 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
WTIC, good afternoon. I love those crossovers with Shattuck. I have this fantasy about us combining our two shows and we both sit there for 8 hours from 10 a.m. I like the vibe we have together on the air. I think it's cool. Anybody else vote for that? Me and Shattuck doing an all-day crossover? We should try it once anyway. It does get tiring, though. You'd need to have some kind of setup where you could have a portable headset on with a mic. So you wouldn't have to carry anything. And you could, and it'd be cordless. So you could just walk and go to the store, do whatever you, go get gas, whatever you have to do. And you could be co-hosting together all the time. That'd be good, wouldn't it, Anthony?
It would be fun for one day, maybe.
Yeah, I don't even know if it'd be fun for one day. It'd be fun for an hour. I like our thing together. Like, I would hop on in the morning with him for an hour just to have a little fun.
Like all so, times.
No, we never have done, well, yeah, no, we really haven't ever done radio together. We've done some stuff radio-related, but not this together. And the crossover is really the first time. That's why I'm excited by it. There's something cool about crossovers. The best job I had in Boston in my 10 years of doing radio in Boston was I was the morning show co-host with Tom Finneran, who had been the Speaker of the House for several years. He was a really powerful speaker, because the Speaker of the House is generally the most powerful guy in state government in terms of legislation. He can decide. If he wants to kill something, he kills it. It doesn't get considered. And Finneran ruled with an iron fist, and then he got charged with a crime by federal prosecutors for lying under oath, and then he got squeezed out. He had to leave office, and then he got a job in radio. My radio station was naive enough to think that for some reason he'd be good on the air, which he wasn't. But he is a really engaging guy. So his show was kind of sucking wind. He was doing mornings, and I was doing crossovers on the show after him. So I'd go on with him like I go on with Shattuck, and I'd talk with Finneran. And management comes to me and says, the only time Finneran sounds good is when you guys are doing your 5 minutes together. So we want to try you out for the morning show. And that's what we did. And then we spent like 5 years together co-hosting. It was great. I forget why I mentioned that. I guess just the Shattuck thing. So there's this story, perhaps you saw in The Current, about gas prices. And this is huge. Headline: experts warn gas prices could get up to $5 a gallon. Connecticut officials are urging the president to take action. What they mean is, what that sentence means, Connecticut officials are urging the president to take action. What that means is they are screaming behind the scenes, we are finished. We will lose every seat next year if gas goes to $5 a gallon. How glorious would that be? It'd be worth paying the extra money to get rid of the Democrats. Because, of course, the Democrats work hard all the time to find ways to drive up the cost of energy, don't they? They want us off the roads. They believe deeply. Well, some of them do. Some of them do. Who knows what they, if there's a singular thing they believe. But there is a belief in climate change, and it's not just climate change they believe in, but they believe in the connection between climate change and windmills, that somehow if you put up enough windmills, all our problems will go away. Or if you produce enough drastically polluting batteries, if you can take all those rare metals out of those tiny third world countries, cause civil wars and supply chain snafus before you even get to critical mass with electric cars because of the battery issues. They actually think, in their diminished thinking capacities, that somehow electric cars and windmills is going to stop the warming of the planet, if indeed the warming of the planet is caused by human activities, which we don't know for sure because we're depending on scientists. And one of the things we've seen, have we not, watching scientists talk about COVID, have we not learned that government is a machine of disinformation with the goal of conning the people into doing what they want, telling any kind of silly lie to get the people to do what they want? Haven't we seen that? Haven't we seen with COVID that scientists, when embraced by the government, when there is a flow of cash coming to them or a flow of power coming to them, haven't we learned that scientists become politicians? Because if you're in government or you're making money off the government, you are a politician. You become a lying conniver with the goal of making sure nobody knows what you're actually up to so they won't oppose it, because it's the plan. They make the plan. Democrats have this plan of shutting down the economy, of damaging the economy, of slowing activity, because they believe projections that say not just that climate change is going to do so much damage, but also that somehow we can undo that damage by curbing economic activity. And I'll tell you what they're up to. What they're up to is putting the squeeze on economic activity first, by diminishing the availability of energy, and then they'll figure out what to do next after they've destroyed the economy, and which is what they're doing right now, isn't it? They're doing that with everything, though. It's not just climate. Donald Trump had found ways to use common sense and improve things at the border, because it's obvious what you do to improve things at the border. Democrats come into office and say, oh, Trump fixed that. We can't have Trump fixing that. Let's make a mess of it again. That's how they are. It's always struck me that if you actually believe all of the logical progressions that the climate change argument goes on, the thing you would want to do is put your foot to the metal on the gas pedal of the economy, using all fossil money in the bank or some percentage of it, and have it available. But these scoundrels, they set up the line items, the tax line items on your bills, where they're taking 1% here and 2% there, and it's for climate change, and then they put the money into the general fund, because all they really care about is covering up the damage they've done to the state with the election rigging schemes that they've created through their business partners, the public sector unions, which are all by themselves an election rigging scheme. Anyway, let's talk about it. 860-522-9842, Tom in Fairfield. Hi, Tom.
Hey, nice to hear you on here again. I don't hear anybody talking about passive solar, which was all the rage in the late 70s and 80s, early 80s, and it's all 100% almost USA parts. Basically heat your hot water, heat your walls, whatever you got to do, and it's basic science. I don't know why they don't want to talk about it, though, because there's no money ahead. There's no graft. There's no million-dollar studies. Nothing.
Wait, you're saying that the climate change crowd, the Democrats, are not talking about passing solar?
Well, anybody that's interested in that, whether environmentally or climate change or whatever.
Have you read studies that indicate that passive solar would be constructive, that the production of the solar panels isn't more damaging to the environment than
the
energy
created? Well, passive solar is not toxic metal. It's basically just a tank. You could literally right now, well, let's face it, how hot is your attic 6 months of the year? It's at least 100 degrees. You could be preheating your hot water with just a water tank in your attic to preheat.
So you're talking about just circulating water through the roof or something to absorb that?
No, in other words, if you put a tank in your attic, right, I guarantee your attic's over 100, like 6 months of the year.
Okay.
And that water preheats the water that goes into your normal hot water tank. Very basic.
Yeah. So you could just have a circulation pump always circulating.
Yeah. Well, you don't even need it. It's just pre-feeding it. In other words, the water that's going in before you use it is already hot. So
that's the first water that goes down. Yeah. I like that. I've never heard anyone talk about that. No.
Yeah, there's no graft in it.
There's no graft. I get you. Yeah, you've been watching the stuff with the vaccines, I guess. Thank you for that, Tom. Bill and Granby. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Todd. So I just wanted to, you talked earlier about climate change and the human component, what percentage might be driving that, if at all. So I agree. I go back to what we talked about at the end of Shattuck's show, which is it's all part of the religion of the left. The far left progressives have made their political ideology their religion. COVID's included in that. Universal health care is included in that, and so is...
But that doesn't tell us why they're doing it. Why did that become part of the religion? You don't just randomly make things part of the religion. You do it for a reason.
Yeah, well, I think it's probably because, you know, the oil is largely a Republican endeavor. It's a red state endeavor, and it's been a Republican business
I think
endeavor.
That's right.
Yeah, so, and we solved the energy crisis. In the Industrial Revolution, we used hydro to off-grid, to create our own power for all the factories in the United States, and especially in New England, where we have rivers and waterfalls. We became the industrial center of the world because of that. And it's reliable, and it's very efficient. So this is not a
problem. Are we underproducing hydro?
Yes, because all the hydro plants were shut down. They were never updated, and because of for environmental reasons, because there was an environmental impact when we were discharging toxins into the rivers, and when we were affecting the fish's ability to move upstream and such. But technology is like with fracking. You know, we've got improved technology now that can solve all of those problems, and we could be powering probably a good portion of the United States and most of New England with hydro.
Hydro is beautiful. It's so passive, it's so easy, it's so clean, it's so wonderful. We should be doing everything we can on that. There was talk about ocean of some kind of system that would tap into the power of the ocean, maybe with big flaps that would kind of go back and forth with the tides going in and out and stuff like that. Have you heard anything about that?
No, I haven't really been paying close attention, but I've been to Niagara Falls a number of times. And, I mean, if you want to see the iconic example of hydro and the capabilities of hydro, you just go to Niagara Falls and you look at the amount of electricity that Niagara Falls generates, and we could be doing that all over the United States, and it's very clean, and it's not ugly like windmills. It's not toxic like EV and lithium batteries, and it's that plus clean nuclear power are the solution. But nobody wants to do either of the best two options.
Yeah, which is kind of bizarre, isn't it? It makes you doubt, Bill, that they're serious about this stuff. 860-522-9842. Are they serious? How can they be serious? How can they be when they won't talk about nuclear generation of electricity? They just started mentioning it. I don't know what happened. We'll take a quick break, talk more. Stay with us on WTIC.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
Todd with you on a, what is this, Wednesday afternoon. 860-522-9842. Rants at 860-751-4698. Who's next up here? It's Brian. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Todd. Nice to speak to you. I'd like to go a little further with, we're talking about power and alternative powers, energy. I mean, nuclear is phenomenal. They don't, there's not much talk about micro-nuclear, but you can have a small tow-behind generator the size of a, you know, a generator, size of a welder, and tow that behind a truck, and you could power probably whole cities with it, with micro-nuclear. Obviously, they don't want to do anything that way. I thought it was interesting what the fellow was talking about, micro-solar. Are you familiar with geothermal exchange?
That's just circulating the liquid down below the level in the earth where there's a stable temperature, right? What is it, 60
Correct.
Degrees?
The only one I've ever done is an extended living facility up in Dayville, Connecticut. But you could do whole neighborhoods to tie into it. You could probably do whole cities off this, off a reservoir. So you save a lot of energy by taking the water down 300 feet to bring it to 55 degrees, and then you only heat it or cool it from there. But nobody really seems to want their city municipalities to want to share a system like that.
Why would they not want to, do you know?
I would say that they probably, like everything else, would be follow the money. So either they're a part of a power company that's going to make more money, or they're going, they're part of the gas company, or part of the whatever you're heating.
But either way, whatever that, whoever got the money for developing it, that would be a way to cut down on the consumption of fuels, which is the goal.
Absolutely. It is absolutely part of that whole green energy thing and the green building envelope and all that. It really is, but it's just all you hear about is plugging in the cars.
See, what I find dramatic about this is that it shows how completely useless government is, how they talk about things and they pitch solutions, but those solutions aren't solutions to the problem of the people. Those are solutions to goals of the and challenges that the political parties face. I mean, they don't talk about ways go ahead.
I absolutely agree with you. I think that you need more engineers, professional engineers, being politicians, which they're not. You have lawyers and whatever, and it's all run by your big four. With the if you do away with lobbyists and all the lobbyists and all the big donation money, then you'd actually have somebody smart that actually cared. And the same thing with healthcare. They would healthcare.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be engineers, though. Anybody who's sincere. It doesn't have to be engineers. Anybody who actually cares about the well-being of their fellow man and their society and their town or their state. I mean, you just need some honest people. These clowns like Ned Lamont are unbelievable with their utter disdain for good policy. He has no interest in solving any problem that the people have. He's using the governor's seat to solve his own personal problems.
Yeah, which may just be an ego thing.
Exactly. Well, that's a personal problem. You know, if you're that shallow that's what you spend $50 million for, to get elected governor so you can get the nice tables and be on national TV on Sunday morning, then, yeah, that's shallow. Thank you, Brian. John, hello there, calling from Massachusetts.
Hey, Todd. So back in the day, I used to have a Free Tibet bumper sticker, okay, and this is germane to the power issue. And so, really, and I still feel that way, what do we see now? We see many of the progressives calling for the Green New Deal that also embrace the BDS movement, boycott, sanction, divest against Israel. We see none of that outcry against China. And in the same breath, the same progressives are more than happy to call for more solar panels, more electric vehicle batteries. They must understand that the majority of our solar panels are coming from China. The majority of our batteries for electric vehicles are also coming from China, and they're coming from China in the worst region, the Northwest region, where we see forced slavery. Why would there not be an outcry against basic human rights? I mean, I think I know, but But, you know, what is your take on that?
Well, say what you think you know. Quickly, we just got 30 seconds.
Yeah, I really don't know unless they only see a goal right in front of them and they don't see China as any kind of a threat. It really is bizarre.
Well, okay, if you want to stay around, John, we've just got to get a news update and you can talk after if you want. But I suspect that everything comes back to their own personal power and all policy decisions have to do with that. And they're not actually caring about what they say about Israel or China or anybody because and I think this is obvious. It's not a revelation. We'll talk more about it. 860-522-9842 after news on WTIC.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Feinberg, now 2 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
WTIC, we're talking about energy, and eventually I want to transfer this into a Travis Scott conversation, too, because I see a parallel here in the politics. But first, John is going to finish up, then we'll get to a couple of other callers. Okay, John, what else do you want to tell us?
Well, Todd, I didn't want to make this into China. Well, maybe a little I did. But if you're a progressive and you're embracing the Green New Deal, you are also embracing the world's worst human rights abusers. And that really comes to the essence. If you're going to put a BDS movement against Israel, mm-hmm. My God, you better put a BDS movement against China at every consulate, every embassy, every university, starting at MIT, and expose these people and stand up if you're Ayanna Presley and AOC and Ilhan Omar against human rights abuses in the world's worst area for it. And we see nothing except Enos Kanter, a backup player on the Boston Celtics, stands up and takes on Xi and the Communist China to where they stop Boston Celtics broadcast in China. That is who our hero is? Are you kidding me, Todd?
Yeah, so there's no sincerity in this stuff is what you're saying, and there's no intellectual consistency, and that's a big problem. Thank you for holding, John. Nice to hear from you. Keith calling from Rocky Hill. Hi, Keith.
Hey, how are you doing?
So are you in the alternative energy business?
Not specifically. I'm a recent graduate with a mechanical engineering degree, and one of the things my professor went through and taught us about was the off-gassing of natural gas. And so what, and I'm trying to just bring a little bit of light, I'm not sure if a lot of people know about it, but what natural gas refineries do is that once they'll fill their storage tanks, it's cheaper for them to just blow off natural gas into the atmosphere instead of paying to store it to sell it later. And when they off-gas it into the atmosphere, they have to, you know, pay a fee, but it's still cheaper for them to pay a fee dumping, you know, thousands of pounds of natural gas an hour into the atmosphere than it is for them to pay to store it.
And this is, as I understand, this is quite common. Like, there's huge volumes of this going on,
right? Super common. Thousands of pounds an hour, and they'll do it for days on end. And it all stems back from the, emission credits and, like, CO2 emission credits and how, like, those were all started to, you know, regulate companies, but now it's just a way for, a trading of fake money and for politicians to have better numbers of, like, you know, lowering emissions.
So natural gas is methane producing, right? And that's the worst thing you could be putting into the atmosphere. Did you get any information, Keith, or any... What's that?
It's just pure greenhouse gas. It's just, you know, heating and...
Right. Right. So if you're a climate changist, this would be... in theory, the worst thing that you could imagine going into the air. You know, I have a relative by marriage who is in the business of driving around streets and taking electronic whiffs of the air to find out how much gas is just being released under the earth from the 100-year-old gas pipes that are in cities in America. And
yeah,
there's also that, you know, there's huge amounts of stuff going
like
on that if they were serious, Keith, it makes you question whether they're serious about anything.
Right. So if, you know, you take that example of they're spending all this money on personnel training and transportation and equipment to monitor heavily these minute off-gases in neighborhoods or, you know, just naturally off-gassing events from the earth. But then they're allowing, you know, these thousands of pounds of natural gas just be, you know, like purified natural gas just to be pushed straight into the atmosphere.
So this studying you were doing, was this, were you in a major on climate stuff, environmental studies?
Not specifically environmental, but as a mechanical engineer, you know, just one of the things that we study and we talk about and that we, you know, kind of have to have a depth of knowledge in the energy realm and kind of a little bit of the bean counters world of like figuring out, you know, how much loss is allowable, but not specifically in the energy studies.
Did you guys get into any conversations when you did get into the energy sector about climate change and the politics of it, or is this just your own side thinking?
This is a little bit of my side thinking, just kind of what I've seen and put together. My professor tried to stay very, not far away from the political side of it, but he wanted to really just present the facts and, like, you know, show us that this is occurring and this is, you know, a very common thing to just off gas and just blow off natural gas and, you know, just to have an idea of, like, the fees associated with things and have an idea of, you know, the lesser of two evils. You know, it seems like.
So, Keith, what was your takeaway from this experience, and what other observations do you have regarding climate change and climate policy?
Well, it's just the lack of foresight, and it seems common sense of, you know, there's so much scrutiny on, you know, like what's, you know, right in front of their nose type of thing, like exactly what they see, but, you know, there's very little scrutiny and oversight over, you know, larger problems through refineries and just lack of more efficient way of doing things. And I just have, like, a takeaway. Yeah, again, it's just people are more concerned with making a headline or making, you know, the numbers game look better than actually trying to, you know, hold on to this natural gas that we're mining from the earth that we could be using.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're just wasting it.
How long have you listened to WTIC? You're in your 20s, I gather?
Mm-hmm. Early 20s.
And how long have you been listening to WTIC? We usually don't get too many callers in your demographic.
Probably a year or two.
And what got you into it?
So I'm more of a conservative-minded person. I grew up conservative, and just makes more sense to be conservative for me personally. And a lot of it was talking with family and friends and trying to figure out what news or kind of like what outlets there are. And just kind of on the way to work is when I, you know, always turn it on the way in the morning and the way home.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for tuning in, and thank you for calling. I hope you'll do it again. It's nice to talk with you.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Keith. That's Keith from Rocky Hill. Early 20s. I love when that happens because it means that he's got such a jump on the rest of the world. He might have some kind of midlife crisis and become a leftist, a radical bomb thrower. He might be blowing up buildings in 20 years, but I don't think so.
I thought I was the only 20-year-old that listened to this.
Well, you don't listen to it. You're paid to be here. That's different. He's got a choice. He chose to listen.
It's true.
All right, so let's talk about this. What's his name again? Travis.
Travis Scott.
So Travis Scott is interesting to me because Anthony and I had a conversation. Well, we've had several, but early on, a couple days ago, I guess, Monday morning and maybe Friday last week. When did this happen?
It happened on Friday, so Monday. I talked to you about it.
Okay, so Monday. So we talked about it Monday, and I was thinking, and I partially said to Anthony, what this is going to come down to is that there's going to be, it's not just him that's a problem. It's not just Travis Scott, but it's the political machinery, the power of money. That's all right. Ignore the calls. I'll put them on hold. Just stay with me for a minute. The whole issue of the way politics works, that you find the political class is part of these problems. So the conversation was about Travis Scott and what he's doing wrong and how he's negligent. And I said to Anthony, it's going to go back years. You're going to find, oh, yeah, there's already other events. I know about things that happened before. So there's history of him. And then I hear the guy who went over to his house to talk to him about making sure it was a safe concert was his friend, the chief of police, who loves this guy because he's such an important figure in Houston.
The mayor,
this Travis Scott,
gave him the key to the city.
The key to the city. Fortunately, there's no door. So he couldn't get in to steal anything. This guy's obviously a debacle, and he's been causing great crisis for years and risk of life and limb, and everybody's been ignoring it. And I wonder what your take on that is, Anthony, now that we've seen it a little bit. You've gotten to see that this is the case, that there people cover up and protect folks like him until there is a situation like this.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely seems like he is connected in a way. Obviously, he's famous, so he'll get different treatment than everyone else would necessarily if they were involved with a situation with people dying. But that being said, you know, I'm one to like really encourage concerts and, you know, let people go entertain themselves however they choose. But clearly, I mean, as much as I told you I went to one of his shows, and as much as people like entertainment or hip-hop, or whatever genre it really is, there's rowdy crowds in all of music. You know, the fact that there were situations where it did get very serious, and he continued to, I guess, just egg on that same behavior It is a little concerning just because he should have known.
It's a little concerning. Excuse me, Anthony. If you went to a football game on a Sunday, NFL game, and eight people got trampled, and then you found out that the NFL, oh, this happened a few years ago, and it happened a couple of years before that, and then there's these other situations. Yeah, these guys. I mean, the NFL gets raked over the coals if a player shoves his wife or something, which is perfectly reasonable. Let them get raked over the coals. But how do you reconcile that with your attitude towards? I mean, you seem to want to search for all these words to pad what you're saying. This is disgusting.
No, I'm
behavior.
Not. I'm not trying to defend him by any means. Like, he should be condemned. He shouldn't ever. He shouldn't ever perform.
So what
again.
Is it you're defending? What do
I
you
guess,
feel?
I guess I don't.
Reticent about?
I've seen a lot of narratives around this that just seem like anti the crowd, anti hip hop, anti Travis Scott. I think obviously this is a combination of a lot of things. He's one, a connected person, like you're saying. Two, this is something with major crowd control issues. Didn't seem like they had enough security. Didn't seem like they had a good layout. They had not enough water stations. There wasn't enough EMTs. There wasn't enough police. People snuck in, raged in, broke down fences. You know, it was complete chaos. So, I mean, the fact that this happened before and they weren't even prepared, that's, I guess, my real point. Obviously, they knew things happened before, but the fact that they weren't prepared at all and just let chaos ensue, and the show just went on. I mean, it's crazy that the show went on for 40 more minutes after it was labeled a mass casualty event and police were there and an ambulance was in the middle of the crowd, people jumping on top of the ambulance like it's some sort of joke.
And what was security doing? Their code language for over the radio so nobody would find out what was going on in the arena?
Yeah, supposedly this story broke with the Rolling Stone that Travis Scott's security team was referring to people that the EMS team had either unconscious or dead. They were referring to them as Smurfs, just so on their radio system they had no trace of talking about death and or unconscious fans. So.
That's beautiful. Smurfs. That's something. All right, clear the go to the phones. And 'cause well, we've got to get a little break in, but I want to rant a little about this, and maybe you do too, because this is appalling. And there is no way to look at all this and not understand that these are power problems that exist in everything connected to power in any way. If you're making money, if you can attract a crowd, if you're friends with politicians, if you're connected to a big company, that books concerts. 860-522-9842. Quick break. Coming right back on WTIC.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
WTIC. Yeah, so this stuff all ties together because it's about politics. The wealthy and the powerful are the one percenters. Power is power. If you've got political power, you are the most influential people. If you can command the billions of dollars that the state of Connecticut has flowing to it for no particular reason but for election rigging purposes, and largely that's being achieved by doctoring the economy at great expense to all of us. This will crush us, what they're doing with this money. It's disgusting, the money they are spending in an economy that's already out of balance because of the money that's been pumped in already that wasn't necessary. If only they had left the economy alone. Oh, there's so much to talk about. Let's get Alex in on the conversation. Hey, Alex. Wait a sec. Let me try that again. Hey, Alex. It's not working. Come on.
Hey,
thank
you,
Alex.
Now?
Hi. Yes, hey, it wasn't your fault. It was us.
But one thing I want to say first is I'm only in my mid-20s, so don't underestimate your reach with our demographic.
Look at
well,
that.
Thank you. It's good to get the young'uns on here because you are the hope for the future.
Yeah, you're putting too much on me there, Todd. So I wanted to bring attention to a story I heard over the news today on the station. Apparently there was a robbery at Market 32 in Oxford. where people came in, they just filled their grocery carts out, ran out, and then you know, got into stolen vehicles and drove away. And I don't know if you've ever been to Oxford, but I mean, that's probably the last town I'd associate crime with in the entire state. Like,
I don't know if I have. Where is it?
It's right next to Beacon Falls and Seymour, right near Bethany. You know.
Okay, so it's a tiny little.
It's old farming town.
Okay.
And I don't know. It's just all this crime that's going on lately. It's nobody seems to want to do anything about it in the government. So, just
why do you think that is?
The solutions that you know, I think the solutions don't fit with what they want to portray. You know, with their narrative, they don't want to, you know, do hard solutions that would go against what they preach to everybody.
But if you think about that, I agree with you, but if you think about the physics of that, you know, how much weight there has to be on the side of their fear of their core voters? Like, they're scared of urban voters, I think, right now, because urban voters, they're starting to, there are cracks in their relationship with urban voters who are starting to figure out that the Democrats bring them permanent poverty. Like, that's what they get. And that strains the relationship a little bit. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just don't think I don't think anybody likes crime, to be honest with you. If you're an urban voter or a rural voter, you know.
Well, elected Democrats seem to love it because they don't want to talk about it; they want to ignore it, and they want to loosen up laws to make it more likely.
All right. Well, that's all I have for today, Phil. So, thanks for taking my call,
Alex. Thank you for being young, for listening, and for calling.
I won't be young.
And that's all right. Thank you. That's lock that line if you can grab it, Anthony. Alex, good to talk with you. Appreciate hearing from you. 860-522-9842. They do. They like it. This pleases. Crime pleases the Democrats as long as it doesn't make it into the news too much. A few weeks ago, the governor was poo-pooing it. Oh, I threw money at that. I threw money here. I threw money there. Crime's fine. It's all set, Anthony. What do you want?
Nothing. I wasn't going to say anything specific, but you're right.
I heard you creak. I heard your chair creak. That means you're ready to talk. And I can see the smile on your face. Wait, you, after that introduction, you've got nothing to say?
No, I was just going to say it's funny, just this whole power structure thing and money. And I mean, just going back to the concert thing, I feel like a lot of the reason it seems like, I mean, we don't know all the details yet, but it seems like a big reason why they kept the show going is because of money. But
because it was being broadcast?
It was live on, online, and he had like a partnership with Netflix, which I doubt he has anymore, you know, documenting his shows and, you know, just stuff like that. Like, you know, they don't, by all means, they don't want to cancel the show. Yeah, I guess
it's kind of shocking that the situation happened a few years ago with him telling the person to jump off the second story balcony and the third floor balcony guy getting pushed off and being paralyzed. I mean, that should be enough for the market to be able to respond and to make somebody like Travis Scott go away, to ruin his career. He must bring in so much money. I said to Anthony, well, these things get solved best by the marketplace. The market gets nervous. Insurance companies don't want to insure. And concert promoters don't want to promote somebody who becomes a big liability. But this guy apparently generates so much money, they'll do anything for him.
I mean, fans supposedly are already booing. Like, there's DJ sets of his music at concerts this weekend, and people were booing the DJ until they changed the song.
Well,
and
sure. After the fact, it's really easy to be goody two-shoes about
exactly,
it.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't like Travis Scott. Not that.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network,
from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.